We're back with more of Lake Effect. I'm Bonnie North. Great to have you with us. Health officials have been making the case for years that it's in people's best interest to quit smoking. But if that isn't enough of a push, here's a new reason. If you own a pet and smoke around them, you could be making them seriously ill. That's what happened to the poodle mix Wilson, whose previous owner was a heavy smoker. The dog was too sick to eat or drink when his new owner, illustrator Susan Castriota, adopted him from a shelter. Castriota has written and illustrated a new series of children's books about Wilson's new life, starting with the tale Wilson Gets Adopted. In it, she imparts lessons to kids about animal shelters, caring for an animal, and adopting a new pet. But she also explores what had happened to her new dog before he came to live with her. Castriota brought Wilson to the Lake Effect Studios for an interview, and while he napped on her lap, she said she never thought secondhand smoke could be the cause of his illness.
Actually, I didn't even know that it was a risk. It never even occurred to me or dawned on me until I investigated the owner and I found out he was a heavy smoker, because I was actually trying to find out why Wilson was so sick when I adopted him from the shelter. And then I found out that secondhand smoke affects dogs, cats in particular, because they actually lick their fur, and the carcinogenics are actually on the, on their fur. And birds are very sensitive with the secondhand smoke. And Wilson actually had pneumonia, severe kennel cough, dehydration, and he was just sick when I got him. He was just a sick little puppy, even though he wasn't a puppy.
Well, now tell me about how you ended up meeting Wilson and adopting him.
Well, I was looking for a third dog. So I came across little Wilson, and he was about an hour away at a shelter, which was a Humane Society shelter. And so I went to get him the next day, and when he came out, he was so sick looking. I mean, I just thought, oh, my gosh, this poor little guy is, just not going to be a good fit. He was only 7 pounds. He's 11 pounds now, which is probably where he should be, so that'll give you an idea of how tiny he was. And then I adopted him, brought him home, and that's when I realized he was sick. Did not want to take him back to the shelter because I just didn't, I just couldn't. I couldn't do that. I thought, I need to nurse this guy myself. So I took him to my vet, and it was about a 2-month process for him to recuperate and gain some weight and not cough. And that's why I thought, I have to find out exactly what happened to Wilson before I had him.
Do you think most people are aware of these effects on animals?
I don't think so. I mean, I've had some comments from people that read the book. I had one woman that said she quit smoking. I had another woman that said her husband wanted her to quit, but she didn't. But as soon as she realized it was harmful to her dog, she quit. So, that says a lot about the husband there. I just don't think people are really aware. It was not anything I ever thought of. And now when I see people, in a car with a dog with a cigarette, I think, oh, no, what are you doing to your poor pet?
Well, why did you want to bring this issue up in a children's book?
Well, I'm an illustrator. I've never done a children's book. And I started writing a story about it. I was just, every little thing that happened to Wilson, I would start writing in a little story on my computer. And I thought, well, wait a second. I'm an illustrator. This is a great fit. So I'll just write a children's book. And the book is actually turning into a series. This is the first of a series of Wilson's Wondrous Tales. And each of the books is going to have lessons for children. The first book, Wilson Gets Adopted, talks a little bit about the secondhand smoke issue and about pet adoption and about volunteering at shelters. And I'm just trying to get the word out to the young people. And then the second book is going to be out in November. That's Wilson Learns Manners. And this is going to be teaching children manners through Wilson, of course, as he tells the story in his books.
Reading the story from Wilson's perspective, experiencing going to the pound, being separated from his sister Peaches, I would imagine that kids really get the experience of how scary and what a difficult transition that is to go from a loving home to being in a kill shelter where, if Wilson maybe had been sicker, who knows what might have happened.
Exactly. And I think it's good for kids to know these things. And maybe it will inspire the kids to have their parents take them to the shelter. Maybe they're not going to get a pet, but there's things they can do as volunteers for a shelter. They can have a drive to collect blankets. Shelters always need blankets. blankets and canned dog food. Kids can have a little fundraiser at school and raise money. Maybe if they just go to a local shelter and say, hey, what can I do? And that can be even younger kids. Wilson and I go to schools and we talk to kids. And the young kids, they're very receptive to all of these things that are in the book. I mean, this is a good time to get kids involved in volunteering and to teach them about pets, pet adoption, and how to take care of pets and so forth. So this was kind of, you know, how this book maybe is you know, evolving into, I guess. But the story progresses, as do the illustrations. When I started out, they were black and white. And as the story progresses and Wilson gets happier in his new environment, the color is added to the illustrations. And then in the next book, they're very colorful illustrations. Of course, Wilson is talking about manners, thank you, please. And, you know, anybody with little children is probably going to appreciate a book where, you know, a dog is teaching the kids manners.
I wish my dog had better manners. Now, I want to talk about Wilson's age, if I can bring this up, Wilson. A lot of people, when they do think about going and adopting a dog from a shelter or humane society, they tend to look at the puppies. Everybody wants to have a dog mm-hmm. that grows up with your family. But you got Wilson when he was a few years old already.
Yes, he was 4 years old. And I really was looking for a mature dog, even though he's not really a mature dog in our sense. The shelters do consider that age as a mature dog. And there's actually some states that put them down if they come in and they're small. And if they're over 5 years old, they put them down. So I was looking for a dog that I did not have to really train a lot. I didn't have to get up in the middle of the night and go outside, although Wilson had to be trained to go outside because he was an indoor dog. But he was very smart and adapted very quickly. It's just rewarding, I think, to look at a dog that's a mature dog. And there's so many of them in the shelters right now that need somebody's love. And maybe if you can't adopt, maybe foster a dog. I tell people that too. There's kittens that have to be fostered. Maybe just foster. Keep it for a while. A lot of dogs go into a shelter and they just can't handle the stress. Small dogs don't do well in a shelter, and they're very stressed out. Maybe just say, look, if you get a small dog in, I'll foster it until, you know, it can be adopted. That's another avenue to go if you want to help, but you can't really take on the responsibility of a dog.
So what's next for Wilson?
I've got a lot of ideas for the Wilson series, but they're all going to be lessons for children to learn, and all told by Wilson.
Excellent. Well, Susan Castriota and Wilson, thank you so much for coming in today.
Well, thanks for having us on.
Award-winning artist Susan Castriota is the author and illustrator of the new children's book, Wilson Gets Adopted, part of the upcoming Wilson's Wondrous Tales series. A new book, Wilson Learns Manners, will be out in November. Castriota and Wilson split their time between Pennsylvania and Florida. She was in Milwaukee in August and spoke then with Stephanie Lecce. We'll take one more short break, and then we'll introduce you to a new contributor who studies what the objects in our lives say about us. We'll be right back with a look at material culture on Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio.